Okay, this week, Bez Hashem, we're going to read Parshas Kedoshim alone by itself this year, being a leap year. And Parshas Kedoshim, as you know, is a seder that is a chock full of mitzvahs. A lot of mitzvahs, especially in the category of Menachem Chaveiro, famous mitzvahs like the Hakoach Kamocha and others. But the mitzvah I'd like to look at this evening are the mitzvahs relating to stealing and taking other people's property. The Torah tells us in the first source, Vayikra Perek Yud Tes Pasuk Gimel, Lo Tignovu, you're not allowed to steal. And then it mentions other things, the lying and being dishonest, deceitful. And then again in Pasuk Yud Gimel, it says, O Sasha Pesrayacha, don't oppress another person. Velo Tigzol, again it says, don't steal. And Lo Solim Pulasachir Chagok, you don't withhold wages and so on. We have two verbs, two expressions, both seem to mean the same thing, stealing, Lo Tignovu and Velo Tigzol. Before we get to that issue, though, why the Torah has two phrases, if we look at the words Lo Tignovu and Pasuk Yud Aleph, so right away we're struck by the fact that there seems to be almost the identical expression in the Aseret HaDibros, where it says Lo Tignovu is one of the Ten Commandments. So Rashi points out right away here in Parshas Kedoshim, the second source, Perek Yud Tes Pasuk Yud Aleph, Lo Tignovu, Azhara Lagonev Mamon. This Pasuk is warning us concerning stealing money, stealing property that belongs to somebody else. But the word lotignov, the phrase lotignov in Aseret HaDibros, that's azhar legonev nefashos. That's talking about taking people, kidnapping, or perhaps human trafficking and the like. In other words, taking people, kidnapping people, that's what's talking about in Aseret HaDibros. Here it's talking about taking money or property. How do we know? Dovah l'minyano. Because you have to look at the context. Dovah shechayav and alav misas bezin. You're looking at Aseret HaDibros, that's the phrase lotignov appears with Lo Tirtzach, which means not to murder, Lo Tinach, not to commit adultery, and other sexual inappropriate activities and so on. So those are capital offenses. So stealing money, stealing property, is a bad thing, but it's not a capital offense. But kidnapping is. So in the Aseret HaDibros, it's kidnapping. Here it's talking about taking your money. You look, I printed in source 3, the Pasuk in the Aseret HaDibros in Parshas Yisro, Shmos, Perakov, Pasuk, Gimel, Lo Tirtzach, Lo Tinach, Lo Tignov, etc. And there Rashi says the same thing, Lo Tignov and Perakov Plus Gimel source 4, Begonev Nefashos HaKasim Adam. There in Parshas Yisro, the Aseret HaDibros, talking about stealing a life, stealing people, kidnapping. However, Lo Tignov, the Pasuk here by us in Kedoshim, is Begonev Mamon. Then Rashi goes on, O'eno Ela is there Begonev Mamon, Wulahalem Begonev Nefashos. How do you know which is which? Maybe the one in Aseret HaDibros is talking about stealing money and property, and then here in Kedoshim it's talking about stealing people, kidnapping. No, because Amr Dovel Amir Yom, you have to look at the context. Ma Lo Tirtzach Lo Tinov, Medabi Vedor Shechayev and Lemises Bezin, Af Lo Tignov, Dovel Shechayev, Oh, Mises Bezin. You have to look at the context. Rashi gets this from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Peivav, Medamot, and Source 5. Where the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Lo Tignov, that's the part in the Aseret HaDibros, Begonim Nefashos HaKasim Adaber. At Omer, Begonim Nefashos, Lehenev, Begonim Mama, no, Amr, Tzeyu Lamad, Mishlov, Shisrei, Mido, Shatar, Nidrashos, this is one of the 13 rules, the so-called hermeneutic principles, or exegetical principles, which we can derive things from Sukkim that Chazal set up for us. We know this because many people say at the end of the Karbonis, before Mizmor Shir in the morning, we say the Brites of Rabbi Shmuel. So one of them in towards the end, Dovra Halom et Minyano. Sometimes you have to look in the context. Right? Dovra Halom et Minyano, Mech Chasim Dovra, Nefashos, Afkan Nefashos. So you're looking at Aseret HaDibros, it's talking about things related to lives, right? Like murder. So this also is talking about related to lives, related to people. And then the Baisha continues, more continues, another Baisha, Tanya Idach. Again, this is Sanhedrin, Peivav, but I'll have source 5, Tanya Idach, Lo Tignovu. We're going to Mammon our cousin the Dabra. Atom, we're going to Mammon, Ela, we're going to Fashas. How do you know it's not the Fashas again? Say, Alamad, Mishol, Shemi, the Satchar, and the Dresham. But look at the context. Dora, Alam, and Mignano. The Mach, cousin the Dabra, the Mammon, Afkan, the Mammon. Look at the other things mentioned in the Pashas. So, lying to people, withholding wages. These are monetary matters. So, the Lo Tignovu is also talking about a monetary matter. That's what Rashi tells us in Surah 6. Sometimes it's not clear to you what the Pasuk is talking about. So, what you have to do is say, look at the context, look where it's written, what else is around, and then you can figure out and therefore it's talking in Aseret HaDibros about lives, about people. So, Lo Tignovu is also the same thing. So, you figure out based on the context, was talking about monetary matters. You can read the rest of it. Rashi, that's what it says. So that's in terms of the two parallel phrases, Lo Tignov, one is Lo Shiyachid, one of the Loshon Rabbim. That's not our issue right now. But now the question is, what's the difference in the two phrases here in our parsha alone? Parsha's Kedoshim, Pasuk Yud-Aleph back in the first source, says Lo Tignovu, and Pasuk Yud-Gimel says Lo Tigzo, which both seem to mean steal. So good, talking about stealing money or stealing property. What do you need two expressions about stealing? So the famous Gemara in Bava Kama of Ayin Tes on the base, Gemara says in 7, so in 7, Amri the Kevan, the Ra'u Gazanhu, Kevan the Kamakmi, and I have Ganahu. The difference in the Gazan and the Ganah is, does the victim see, does the person being stolen from see? When you see him, when he comes right up to you, he threatens you with a gun or whatever, he beats you up, and he takes something, so that's called the Gazan. Kevan the commitment, when the person hides, you never see him. He comes in the still of night or whatever, okay, and steals. You never know. That's a Ganah. That's the difference between the two. So Rashi explains it. Good. So Tosfos says, what does it mean in there in Ayin Tes Amud Beis in Bava Kama, source 9? Came in the rule guys, and who called Moshe Oseh b'makom goli below Doma Lagona Rabbis of a Chazer. For our purposes, the guys don't act in public in front of other people. It doesn't matter who sees. He does what he has to do, and as opposed to going into somebody's house in private. A little bit later on that same page, Ayin Tes Amud Beis, so it's 10, the Gemara says, Shalu Talmidei V'Sivyechlam Zakai, Mipnei Ma Hechmira Torah Beganav Yosem Beganav. In certain ways, the Torah treats a Ganav more severely, more stringently than they treat a Gazan. In terms of what you have to pay back, that's Rashi, I'm sorry, that's the next page. Rashi says, and so it's 10, Hechmira Torah, when a person is a Ganav, he pays back. A Gazan pays back the Hesher, Sagzera, Sargoza, gives back the item, finished. But a Ganav has to pay back what's called Kefel, pay back double. Or in some cases, you steal certain animals, you have to pay back 4 animals, or even 5 animals. That's only Dalad Bey. The Torah is stricter. Why is the Torah stricter with a Ganav than with a Gazan? So the Gemara says, B'Amar Lahan, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai answered the Talmidim when asking this question, Ze Hisra, quote, Eved, okay, meaning the Ganav, the Gazan, let's start with the Gazan. The Gazan treats human beings and the Kodesh Baruch Hu the same way. He's not afraid of anybody. He's not afraid of doing an Avera. He's not afraid of being punished by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And he's not afraid of being caught by people either. So they'll know who he is. He's a tough guy. He walks in front of the, walks right up to the victim and he threatens him. He's not afraid of anybody. He doesn't creep around. He's not afraid of anything. So therefore, he kind of equates people with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's, that's not a great thing, but at least it's better, as we'll see in a second, than a Ganav who's afraid of people. He's afraid of getting caught, right? So he sneaks into the house in the middle of the night, comes through an open window or something. He sneaks in. That's a Ganav. He's afraid of people, not afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he treats human beings, so to speak, in a higher way than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, we're tougher on him. And the more continuous, Kaviyacha, Osa Ayin Shalmata, Kilo Eina Roev, Ozen Shalmata, Kilo Eina Shalmat. Right? It's like, no one sees, nobody knows. Right? When really, actually, Baruch Hu sees and knows everything. The other story, I think it's the Chavetz Chaim, whoever exactly it was, maybe it never happened, but it's a story. Somebody was once, one of the Talmud Chacham was once going with a driver somewhere, and the horse wagon and so on. So the driver says, I got to get some feed, I'm going to sneak into this yard in this field over here and take some fruits off the tree, whatever. You keep a lookout. If anybody's watching, call me and I'll stop. So, okay, so he pulls over. So the wagon driver gets out and he climbs over the fence. He thought he's about to pick some fruits off the tree. And the rogue says, well, so's watching. So he stops and pretends he's doing something else. And then he thinks the coast is clear. So he goes back. And so as soon as he again is about to pick his fruits from the tree, the rogue says, so's watching. Wow, after a few times, finally he says, who's watching? Nobody's here. Oh, Kodesh Baruch Hu's watching. I said, well, who is watching? The Gazan doesn't care about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, doesn't care about people. The Ganav is more frightened of people. It is like Kodesh Baruch Hu. He's treated more severely. Rashi says in 11, Hishra Kod Evan, Lo Yarim and Adam, Kedera Sarah, but Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay. Abu Ganav, Lo Hishra Evan Lekono, Elakibet Evan Yosem Mikono. So Yarim and Adam, and not afraid of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay. And so that's the difference between a Gazan and a Gazan. Both things are stealing. They're two different Yisurim. The Rambam and the Sefer Mitzvah enumerates them as separate Yisurim. In Mitzvah Lo Sase Reish Mem Hei, right, 13, he writes, Mitzvah Reish Mem Hei Shizan Shalom Ligzo. I'm sorry, Reish Mem Dal, 12. Mitzvah Reish Mem Dal Shizan Shalom Lignov Mamo, not to steal property, not to steal money, that's Lotik Novel. And Mitzvah Reish Mem Hei is we shouldn't steal Shalom Ligzo. And what does that mean? Rashi says, Well, who lito masha'en bo lano zchus, taking someone who doesn't belong to us, be'one zehechret. You take it by force. You take it by forcing the other person's hand. That's what's things all. And the Sefer Chinuch is the same thing here in our Parsha Kedoshim, so it's 14, it's a Reish Chav Dalet, Shal Lignov Shumom, Shemar Lo Tignovu. So the Gemara says that's Azar L'Gonav Mamon, and in the Mitzvah Reish Chav Tet, here in Kedoshim, Shal Lignov is Klomer, Shal Lignov, Ma She'en Lo Nishchus Bo Bekoach, Who is Roa, the piercing, right, the strength, with the tough hand, publicly, right, that's the Gazim, that's what those things are. Either way, it's also, they count it as two different Isurim. I just want to mention, for the sake of being complete, not everybody learns that way. There are some who hold that really there's overlap between the Gneva and Gzela, and actually, Gzela is included under Gneva. That's how the Rif writes in the Tshuva, Source 15, Tshuva, so Rif, some Kuf, Lamed Gimel, that says actually a Gone, but Yeshal of Gimel Lavin can have as many as three different Lavin. Echad Mishum Gonev, good. Echad Mishum Shenishpa Shal Yachzer Asam. If that's the case, he swore and so on, it wasn't given back. And that's another one. And Echad Mishum Gezel, Mishum goes with Shalom Midah. So Apo Pisha Gzela Bichlal Gneva, right? Sometimes Gzela is subsumed in the Gneva. This is why this is different and so on. But the key phrase is Gzela is included under Gneva. So that may not be completely different, at least according to some Rishonim. In the source 17, the Rabbi Yochum Mishal Perlo in his encyclopedic commentary on the Sefer Mitzvot of Sadigon is bothered. This is in Losa Sei Tzadi Aleph. Below Tignov, that's that kidnapping, right? That's Sarah Sadibros. So he's bothered by why the Rav Sadigon and others also, other Monei HaMitzvah, the early Monei HaMitzvahs, we just saw the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch both count Geneva and Gzela, they each count Geneva and Gzela, separate mitzvahs on the list of the Tayag mitzvahs. But the Rav Sadigon doesn't. He mentions Lo Tignov, but that's an Eser Sadibros, that's kidnapping, that's a different thing altogether. But he never mentions, never counts Lo Tignov. Okay, and that's the question. Why doesn't he count Lo Tignov? Right, they're not under Lo Tignov. Lo Tignov is kidnapping, you know, the people, and Lo Tignov is a moment. So why doesn't he count it separately? And so that's what he's bothered by. Right, at the end of the first paragraph, he says, "The V'divrei Rabbeinu Hagaon Zalmasi Atot Tzorich Iyun L'chora." What the Sadigon and others who follow him seem not to count Lo Tignov as a separate law. What are they doing? So the Yochum Perlo answers on the basis of this Tshuvas Harif, and it's no, because they assume it's under Lo Tignov. Right, it's under the law of Lo Tignov. Okay, anyway, that's a bookkeeping question, but something just to be aware of. So the Rambam has two separate chapters, or actually two separate sections in the Mishnah Torah. One is called Hilchos Geneva. So you look in 18, Perek Aleph of Hilchos Geneva Aloha Aleph. The Rambam writes called Agonev Mamon Mashaputa or Bishavaputa or Lamala. It's a minuscule amount, Bishavaputa or more. So you violate the Losas. Then he writes Ein Lokin Alavzeh. Why not? Yeah, because it's Harezeh Nitin L'Tashumun, right? The Ganav can pay it back. He can rectify the situation. So it's a technicality that prevents him from getting Malkus. Fine. That's Halacha Aleph, Geneva, and Halacha Gimel. Ezu Ganav, Zeh Alokech Mamon Odo B'Seser, Ve'ena Ba'ala Mildim. Someone who secretly takes money and the victim doesn't realize it. He go na Poshet Yad V'Toch Kis Chavero, V'Lokach Mo'osav, and like a pickpocket. Right, you're in a crowded subway somewhere or a crowded place on the street, and this guy's a master pickpocket, so you don't even realize. Sometimes you don't even know about it until you get home. Ain't about it more. He doesn't see it. Doesn't even know about it. Anything like that. That's a ganav. Of all the Rambam writes, he will keep. But golim or hesed, the chosik yard ain't a ganav of a gazim. You take forcefully public. That's a gazim. And then he has a section called hilchus zela. Actually, hilchus zela da avedim. And parak alav aloch alav over there. 19. He writes the same thing. Aloch alav kol agozos chaver shorakuta. No matter how much you take, even a minuscule amount, you violate this law. Says it. But vein lokan alav. Again, you don't get malchus because it can be returned. And Halacha Gimel, he writes, as we've been saying, Ezu goes, Zeh Halokech, Momon Ha'odam B'Chazaka, Kegon Shechotav Metaltlam, the other, grab something from somebody else, Oshe Nichmas U'Shuso, you know, he came into the person's property, and took things, you know, openly, and so on. So that's the Gneva and Gzela. Either way, the two things are both Aser, Shulchan Aruch, Oshe Mishpat, Hilchos Gneva, Simen Shin, Mem Ches, Tivalef, Oshe Lignov, Afilu Kol, Shudi Torah, and if to take a shavuot, you have to give it back. And again, in Siv Gimel, Ezeu Ganav Halokeach Mamon Odom B'Seis Ve'Ena Balam Yodim Avol Lokav B'Golav Farhasya Ein De Ganav El Gazim. And so a few chapters later, in Shin Nun Tes of Choshen Mishpat Shin Nun Tes Tivalef Osa Lizo and Not a Steal. And again, in Siv Gimel, Kol Agozes Chaverah For the Shavuot, Kol Notol Nafsho. I want you to bear that last point in mind because that's important. It says whoever steals from, in fact, he took his life away. A strong phraseology, but you know, sometimes it's true. Sometimes a person has something stolen, so you feel violated and overpowered. So keep that point in mind, because that really segues into what I want to speak about now, and that is the question of the title of the shiur: stealing in order to save one's life. So we all agree when it's Gneva and Gzela, two separate things. One thing is two separate mitzvahs. Good, but either way, it's also right. No matter what happens, also to steal. What happens if I'm stealing not because I just want to get wealthy or something like that. I want something very much that someone has. But let's say I'm stealing in order to save my life. You have certain medicines, right? I know you have. You have plenty of it. You've got plenty of it. So you're a doctor, whatever, lots of medicine in the cabinet. So I'll come in, I'll sneak into your office, and I'll steal some medicine, right? Because I need that medicine. I can't afford it. So I'm stealing in order to save my life. I go break into a pharmacy, a drugstore, and I steal something. I steal medicine. I steal food. Right, from Les Mis, right? Jean Valjean, right? He steals a loaf of bread. They're starving to death. They need something to eat. So what's the story over there? Am I allowed to steal in order to save my life? Okay, that's the question. Yeah, so you would answer, well, of course. You're allowed to do anything to save your life, right? And that's what it would seem. It seems to be an open and shut case. You look in last week's schedule, Parshas Achrimos, which often is read together with Kedoshim, just not this year. The end of Parshas Achrimos, the famous pasuk, source 22, by Yikar Parak Yudches pasuk 8, Ushmartem es chukosayim es mishvalah sheyaseh osam ha'odam, and magic two words, the big two words, v'chai bohem. The mitzvahs of the Torah, all the dinim, all the chukim mishpatim are given that we should live by, v'chai bohem, and not to die by. We don't have to die to keep the mitzvah. That's not the purpose of mitzvah, not to make the person die. Okay, if as a result of observing a mitzvah, a person, a whole son's going to die, then you don't observe the mitzvah. The mitzvahs were given, that's this pasuk, v'chai bohem, to live by. So therefore, offhand, l'chor, it seems that you can steal. If you need medicine, eat food. Person's in a life and has to be a real life and death situation. Not just I'm hungry, you want a snack, but it's a real life and death situation. So then, if l'chor, you're allowed to steal b'chai b'hem. And we know that that b'chai b'hem overrides even certain very stringent and very basic halachas. So, for example, we have in the Gemara in Yuma on Pehei and Aleph a discussion. Gemara there is talking about chilul Shabbos, pikuach for the sake of pikuach nefesh to save a life. So it's 23. You might pay him and Allah. Kvar Hoyer, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Kiver, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Zariah, Malchum, and these great Tanoim were once traveling someplace, and they were accompanied by Levi Hasador. Who exactly he was? I'm not sure. The Rashi says the Levi Hasador lo porish li miur. What exactly means Hasador? Maybe he was misadded some of the teachings. He made things in order. Whatever. Where exactly he was? But the Levi Hasador, Rabbi Yishmael, but no, Rabbi Lezer, was not ever traveling with them. Malchum, Rafaim. Anyway, Nishal or Shela Zubifneim. This question came up in the discussion. Minayin lepikuach nefesh dochas Shabbos. How do we know that pikuach nefesh is docha Shabbos, that you're allowed to violate Shabbos in order to save a life? We all know. Everybody knows, right? The person's seriously sick on Shabbos. So you call the hospital. You drive into the hospital. You do whatever you have to do. But pikuach nefesh, we're allowed to violate Shabbos. Everybody knows that. But also, what exactly is the mukar? What's the source for that? How do we know? Minayin lepikuach nefesh dochas Shabbos. So the Gemara there on Yuma Pehayim and Aleph, going over to Pehayim and Beis, each one of these different Rabbanim gave different suggestions, different ways to derive. There's no actual Mefurish or Pasuk exactly that says that you're allowed to violate Shabbos to save a life. So he learned that from different Pesukim. At the end of that Pesukim, on Pehayim and Beis, 25, Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Okay, and Shmuel lives later, he's in Abara. So Shmuel said, if I would have been there for that discussion, right, he heard about this conversation, it was recorded, so he heard, if I would have been there, Habamina, I would have given a better answer than any of them gave. Habamina, I have an even better explanation. Very simple. Our pasuk, right, Nachremos, back in Source 22, V'chai b'hem v'lo shi'amos b'hem. That's all pasuk. Okay, the mitzvah we're given to live by, not to die by. So finish. So if you're going to die by keeping Shabbos, you don't have to keep Shabbos. You have to violate Shabbos in order to live. Right? And the Gemara Rava, who lived even after Shmuel, later on Morat, Amar Rava, Lekulu, Yisul Pircha, Bar Mida Shmuel. Lekulu, Pircha, Shmuel's right. His answer is the best answer, because all the others, you can argue, you can refute them. So Shmuel has no reputation. And if it's correct, V'chai B'Valoshi, you almost plan. Right? And Rashi is, even in case of the Sofik, right? In the other case, you would know about Sofik. In this case, you do. Even in Michal, even on a Sofik. Okay? So that's, so you're allowed to violate Shabbos in order to preserve a life. So the horse of the Amishim saying the same thing about stealing. Earlier, there in that same parak in Yuma, that is in the eighth parak of Yuma. Most of Masechus Yuma talks about Yom Kippur. Most of the parak is talking about things relating to the Avodah, the Beis HaMikdash, what happened in the Beis HaMikdash Yom Kippur. The last parak of Yuma, the eighth parak, that's what talks about the things that we're familiar with Yom Kippur and the different Chamesha Sinuyim and at the end about Tshuva and so on. But anyway, so on Pei Beis Amad Aleph, the Gemara discusses, there in Yuma, Tanar Bonan, 27, a pregnant woman, okay? A pregnant woman who smells, or she's enticed, she's craving for meat that is not kosher, or meat that is from Korbanos and so on. So you try and give her, in general, she needs to have this meat and nothing else. So let her have a little bit of flavor it somehow. You take a glass of kusha plastum, kind of a needle, of a sharp thing, you poke it into the meat to get the little flavor on it, so maybe that'll satisfy her craving. She'll taste that, not really the food that's also. And if that doesn't work, if she should eat the mutter for good, then you'll have nachil also wrote about it, let it eat the gravy and not the food itself. That satisfies the good. In love, then machil also shumatzma, then you give it a non-kosher food, or if it's food in your kippur or whatever, that's the context, right? So then, why says the Gemara, she'ein lecha dover she'omei b'snei pikuach nefesh? Nothing overrides saving a life, nothing is considered when a life is at stake, except for the famous big three, chutz me'avodah zarah, v'gilui arayot, she'ein stam, except for avodah zarah, idolatry, gilui arayot, adultery, and other forbidden sexual relationships, and she'ein stam. But aside from those three, the so-called three cardinal sins, the big three, right, avodah zarah, she'ein stam, and gilui arayot, other than that, it's a straight statement, ein lecha dover she'omei b'snei pikuach nefesh. Nothing is in the way of pikuach nefesh. Okay? So that's another Gemara that proves our point. There's yet another, and again, that would seem to be that the stealing also is not one of the three, right? There's another related Gemara where the Gemara makes the same comment in Ksubas, Yud Tesam Aleph. The sugya there is about witnesses who are told to sign something that's not true, a document, some sort of a document. They want these witnesses to sign. It's a false document. Right? It's a false document. So the Gemara says in 29, Amar of Chista, Amar 29, Ksubas Yud Tesam Aleph, Amar of Chista, Kasavar of Meir, Aidim she'amru lehem chismu sheker ba'al tergu, yehergu ba'al yechasmu sheker. So Rameir says, if someone's forcing Aidim to sign something, it's not true, otherwise we're going to kill you. And if you sign it, we won't kill you, implying that if you refuse to sign it, we'll kill you. So yehergu ba'al yechasmu sheker, let himself be killed rather than signing falsely. Can't sign a false document. Amalei Rava, the Rava said, one second, hashta ilo asa lekamal aluche, amrilo zilu chasumu ba'lo tiskatum. You come before me, I would tell you, you better sign it. You have to sign, right? You don't let yourself be killed. This is not the murder. It's not gilui arayot. It's signing falsely. It's a bad thing to sign falsely, but you have to preserve your life. Domar mar, what's his proof? The same as the Gemara Numa. Ein lecha dover she'omei b'fnei pikuach nefesh alav l'skochav gilui arayot she'chasam levad. Levad, just those three things. This is not one of the three. So as bad as it is to be a false witness and so on, to bear false testimony and so on, okay, but it's not one of the three averus hachamurus. It's not one of the Gimel averus hachamurus, the three cardinal sins. It's not in that category. So even though it's a bad thing, Rabbi says, you have to sign. What can we do? Right? Your life's at stake. You don't have to give up your life to avoid signing falsely. Because, again, the same expression as in Yuma, Ein lecha dover she'omei b'fnei pikuach nefesh, except for those three. Now, I don't want to talk about those three right now. That's the sugi in Sanhedrin. Of Ayin Dalet of an Aleph, source 30, where the Gemara says, Amr b'yochan b'shum r'b'shim r'miyot tzadok, nimnu v'gomru b'aliyah space nitzah b'lun. The rabbis had a meeting, and they counted, they voted, and they decided when they were in the house of Nitzah Belud. I don't know, Nitzah, Rashi says in 31, Nitzah Shem Leish, that was the guy's name, that was Nitzah, and he had a house in Lud. In Lud, you know, maybe he worked in the airport or something. Anyway, so he lived in Lud. So they had a meeting, and then they agreed in his house the following, Kol Aveir Shematorah in Omim La'odam Avor Ba'al Tehareg, Ya'avor Ba'al Yehareg, by all the Aveiras in the Torah. If somebody tells you violate this and then your life will be spared, so taka ya'avor v'al yehareg. So you violate it and don't let yourself be killed. You have to violate it. Except for, again, chutz me'avodah zarah, v'gilui arayot, shechita damim. Just idolatry, adultery, and the like, and shechita damim. And Rashi, the taka says, Sanhedrin, ayin damar aleph, 31, ya'avor v'al yehareg. Because, you know, the Gemara didn't quote it, but Rashi quotes it from the other Gemara. V'chai b'hem, v'lo she'omos b'hem. That's why all the Averis of the Torah are violated, because it says v'chai b'hem, and not she'omos b'hem. Now, as far as those three, why are those three exceptions? So that's the rest of that sugi and Sanhedrin explains and analyzes why those three are different. Rashi says, l'kam and yalef. Okay, we don't have to go into that now, because we're not talking about those three. Right? But in terms of the halachas, so the Rambam, the Hilchot Yisod HaTorah, hey, halach aleph, in the context of still talking about Kiddush Hashem. So the Rambam writes, hey, halach aleph, Hilchot Yisod HaTorah, kol beis Yisrael mitzvah on Kiddush Hashem ha-gadol hazeh, shemar nemar v'nidashtu l'sof b'nei Yisrael. Right, every person is mekadesh in Shemayim, and a muzharim shalom, the next week says it, Parsha Semor. We can't degrade or denigrate the name of God, shemar v'lo schal Hashem kol chi, ketzad. If a non-Jew is somebody who's trying to force a Jew to violate any one of all the mitzvahs in the Torah, oh yeah, again, otherwise he's going to kill him. He should violate the avera and not let him kill. Shenemar, as Rashi says, as the Rambam says, as we said, the Shenemar b'mitzvahs are the same pasuk. Asher yasa osama adam b'chayva. That was Shmuel's teaching, right? It says b'chayva him, right? Velo shiomas b'chayva. We may still love our isn't his chayv and afshol, right? If you let yourself be killed, then you're held couple as if you killed yourself, right? And then Allah Chabez, the Rambam modifies it and says, that's why all of the mitzvahs, except for Chus Mevarot Chacham, Megillah Ra'as, except for the three Averis Hachamuras, and those Averis, no matter what, the Din is the Har Gal Yavo, you can never violate no matter what. Why that's so, again, not a topic. And then the Rambam further modifies, it depends what's going on, is it a time of Shema, is it trying to get the Jews to observe them, to violate all the mitzvahs publicly, then you have to violate any, not allowed to violate any avera, right? So certain circumstances, that it's a kid of Hashem, even the change of shoelace, color, carcass of the Masana, and so on, and not our issue. The dinim I found in the Shulchan Aruch as well, in Yeridea, Simon Kuf Nun Zion. Sif Aleph, Kol Aver, Shabbat Torah, Chutz Mevar, Shukham, Begil Rasa, Shukham, every Aver in the Torah, except for those three. Im Omer Lo La'adam, Shiyavar, Elam, Oyeh Harek, if someone tells you, you better violate this, I'm going to kill you. Certainly in private, Yavor Vahare. And he writes, the Shulchan Aruch does, in Yitzhala Hachma, Salereg Rasha. You can volunteer to be, quote unquote, strict and let yourself be killed rather than violate even a lesser Avera. The Rambam disagrees, not our topic. It's important. The Machok is not for right now. That's provided in Ha'ovid Kochav Mechavan Avir Al Dad, because he wants to violate the religion. Okay. And the Ramos says an important point. Of course, if you Chala Hatzel, that's on the Chala Shelo, if you can save yourself by buying your way out, give him money, then you give whatever you do to save your life. Okay. And discuss the difference. What if it's for Hesia? Again, that's the general rule. So, Lechora, this should be in terms of our question this evening, are you allowed to steal to save your life? Well, yeah. It's not one of the Gimel Aver, it's a Chamuras. And yet, we find some sources in the Gemara that seem to indicate otherwise. There was a Gemara, again, back in Yuma, at 8th Parak of Yuma, 34, Pei Gimel Amud Beis in Yuma. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Abakaz, the Baruch. Once Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi will walk in some place, and Achze Bulmus, Rabbi Yehuda. Suddenly, Rabbi Yehuda was seized with Bulmus. Bulmus is a type of disease. I don't know exactly what it is. It's some kind of a stomach or something, a disorder. You know, I looked at an article that translated Bulmus as Bulmus. So whatever it is, some sort of a severe situation, a person has to eat right away. If you don't eat right away, your blood sugar is going down. It's dangerous. Okay, whatever exactly it is, it's considered dangerous. And Rabbi Yehuda needed to eat something right away. He was had this seizure or whatever exactly it was, this bulmus, and he had to have something put in the system right away, otherwise it was going to be dangerous. So they were traveling someplace, so Kapche Leroa, there was some shepherd nearby who had food, so Rabbi Yehuda went over and basically forced him, as Rashi says in 35, Kva over Noto Kikoro, I don't know. He forcibly took away this shepherd's bread, and he had to eat something. Not only his bread, Rabbi Chananel, 36, Rabbi Chananel says, he has a Yossi Achzei Bulmus. He was the one who was sick. Of the two that were traveling, he was the one who was sick. Whichever one it was, what did he do? Bekipeach haroa kloma achal koma shukilo. He took his whole lunch bag and took his whole lunch pail and ate everything. Okay, whatever he took, so we'll learn the way we have it in our version. Rabbi Yehuda took the food from this shepherd, the horse, stole his food because he needed it. He was in a dangerous situation, so he took the other person's food. So Rabbi Yossi, the rabbi says, what are you doing? Kipeach this haroa. Sounds like it's good advice. How could you do it? He took food that belonged to somebody else. So that, from the simple reading of Gemara, it looks like he was criticizing him for taking, even though he was in a dangerous situation, needed to have something in his system right away. There was no other food around. So he took food from this guy. He stole something to save his life. So the question, how did he do that? So what do you mean, how did he do that? Why was Yossi critical of it? So you look in the next source, 37, the Maritz Chayes. Maritz Chayes had a correspondence with the Chassam Sofer, the Ben Dor of the Chassam Sofer, and so he refers to him in Surah 37 on the Yuma Pegimah Beis, Yuma Gemara Kaf Chelero. In this story, he refers to Hagon Mi Pressburg. Chassam Sofer lived in the city called Pressburg. So the Maritz Chayes calls the Chassam Sofer Hagon Mi Pressburg. So the great Gon from Pressburg, that's how, but Shuvah So Ela, 53 Torah Levim. He wrote some things to me about my Sefer Torah Nevi'im. The Maritz Chayes wrote some very interesting svarim, including one called Torah Nevi'im, where he describes what what exactly is the role of Nevi'im, where does that fit in with Torah, and Torah Shabbat Pan, and Torah Shabbat Sal. Anyway, so some sofer, the close of the Gaomi Press, was wrote to me, he asked, Hikshad Echosak, and Ari Osul, Ahat Dilatsu, and Chaveru. I thought you're not allowed it. Well, no, well, say it again. Look what he said. Osur lahatzel atzmo b'mamon chaver. So the question of Yehuda, because apparently there's somewhere an iser to save your life with somebody else's property. And where'd that come from? But that's what the assumption is given here in this correspondence in the Chum Sofer of Matzayis was that there's osur lahatzel atzmo b'mamon chaver. Afilu b'mukham sakonis nefashes. Even if it's a life and death situation. It refers to Rama, which we'll see in a second. The given in that piece over there is that it's taka osir. And so they get out of it by saying, well, maybe when MSF Shalom at the Haroa Hikir Chol Yovanasan Me'atzlo. They didn't steal it from the shepherd. The shepherd realized he saw this person, he was famished and he was in a terrible situation. The shepherd realized he gave him his whole lunch. They didn't steal it from him. That's not exactly the pasus of the sugya. And Rabbi Yosef wasn't criticizing him. It was commenting. You know, you wipe the guy out of all food. But there's nothing wrong. Okay, that's how he learns. And it's certainly possible that I don't think it's the pasus. But again, the given here is that, you know what? There is a principle that also lahatza asma l'chaveru. Okay? Well, we're proud hechid yadoshiach, so he knew he'd pay him back eventually, right? This was a great love, so he's going to pay the guy back. He's going to make him holy. We'll get back to that point. And Gamarama moded the Ein Lechadover Shomet Zikuk Nefesh. Even the Rambam has to admit, Ein Lechadover Shomet Zikuk Nefesh. So he says that on the one hand, on the other hand, he has the din of Osir L'Odom, Osir L'Hatzil Atzom L'Chaveru. On the other hand, Ein Lechadover Shomet Zikuk Nefesh. We have to reconcile it. So apparently, it's not really right to steal something, even to save your life, but, you know, if you have to, you can. And this case was different. Somehow, the guy gave it to him. Well, you have to figure out exactly how it works. The Rambam is referring to is in Hilchos Chovel HaMazik Perkhes, the first four halachas that printed out through. Now, we're not going to read the whole thing there, but the Rambam, the situation here is you have an anos. An anos is somebody who's forcibly trying to take other people's money. Guy comes to town, he's trying to, you know, strong-arm people. You know, like they used to have the old days, tax collectors came in, you know. So they would force people to search and find people's money and property and so on. So Hamos Amam Chaver Biad Amos. So let's say I went ahead, the guy comes to my house. My bedler comes to my house. So I tell him, you think I have my stuff? I'll tell you exactly my neighbor. He's got much fancy stuff for me. Let me show you where he keeps his stuff. And I show it to them and I take his stuff. So Chayav L'Shalom in the office of Chosav, I have to pay back and so on. Okay? So Halacha Beis, the Rambam qualifies that. But Mezvar, more of a Kishahera, Mosim Atzmo, that's when this Mosim is giving over, right? To the Maser, you give over to the non-Jew, Masling. Usually, so Masling, you give over, a person will lose his life. But here, he's going to lose money. So I Maser, so that's when do I have to pay him back? That's if I did it willingly. Avalim Ansuhu, but if I was forced, Goyim or Yisrael, there's no Yisrael, Haros, the Hera, Hari, the Potman, after Shulman. Okay, if I just showed him, I told him, they forced me. They come to me, they hold a gun to my head. Now listen, tell us where your neighbor keeps his gold, or keeps his fancy property. I have no choice, the guy's got a gun to my head. That's different, okay? On the other hand, then I said, but if I did more than just show him, af al pishu onas chayav l'shalim, so the Rambam, shahamatzil atzmo b'mamon chavero chayav l'shalim. I'm going to have to pay you back. I'm going to say, I was forced. I was like, I was holding guns on my head. What can I do? I had to tell him. Okay, I had no choice. I'm not going to give my life so that you can have some extra pieces of gold. Like, so I had no choice but to tell him. But I have to pay you back in that case. But also, la'atzmo, shamatam m'chaver, chayav l'shalim. And then he goes to further details. At the end of Halacha Dalet, the Ravid, okay, the Ravid has a bit of a disagreement. And the Ravid comes out, very strange, that the person is allowed, what do you mean? The person is certainly allowed. And he writes, he says, look at the last couple lines in Halacha Dalet, she'ein lecha davar she'omed b'snei pikuach nefesh. There is nothing. Okay, why should I have to die to so you can, you'll have more money? I don't have to give up my life, so you'll have more money. And the ein lecha davar she'omed b'snei pikuach nefesh. Now, what does he do with the phrase "also lahatzel atzmo l'chaveru"? So apparently, the Ravid doesn't seem to hold that way. What do you mean? We reacted instinctively, right? Of course, you're allowed to take something from somebody else or show somebody or somebody else's money to save my life. I'm not trying to hurt you, but I have no choice, right? So, but apparently, at least floating around somewhere, there is some hesitancy about this, okay? And at least I have to pay you back. That's when we get back to that point. But it looks from at least in these discussions, there is some questions. It's not an open and shut case. The rabbi didn't say it is. He says ain lecha davar shalom tisnei pikuach nefesh. And therefore, it wasn't really right to force somebody. But you have no choice. Your life's at stake, so you're allowed to do it. Right? And the question is back: why did Rabbi Yossi steal? Why did Rabbi Yossi criticize Yehuda for stealing after the guy's money? He's allowed to do it. But then the Maariv Chai said, "Well, he gave it to him willingly. Well, whatever you crush it through." But that's one sugya. There is another sugya which emerges from a story that appears in Parakof Gimel with Shmuel Beis. I print the whole thing. I printed sugya Yud Beis to Yud Zayin here in Source 39. It's a little complicated, as the Radak points out there in 40, the Chazal, the way they learned, kind of wove two parts of the story together. It's not our issue right now. Look in 40 for a second. Masha Kosu Hazal bin Zahim Dorm Shal Temach, he Chibur Shneya and Yonah Vahela, wove two different stories together. Again, we don't care so much about the Pshat, the Psukim. But what happened was, this is when one of the battles between David HaMelech and the Plishtim, right? And by Yisyatsu B'socha, Shmuel Beis, Parakov Gimel. By Yisyatsu B'socha, Chalka Vatzileh, Ba'achas HaPlishtim, because he was able to defeat the Plishtim, but it wasn't over yet, because the Plishtim were hiding near Beis Lechem, which is where David came from. So suddenly, in the middle of the story, Tesla, Vais Ava David, Vayomar, Mi Ashkeni Mayim, he bore Beis Lechem Hashem Bashar. He had a great tithe. He needed to drink. People, the soldiers were thirsty, and he needed water. Who's going to get me water from Beis Lechem? Right? And so Pesach says, oh, Ipush, Foshas, Hakibor, three brave soldiers, went into that. Now the Plishtim were hanging around this. It was dangerous to get the water, but these three soldiers went to get the water. Anyway, they went into the Machane Plishtim, Vayishavu Mayim, they brought Beis Lechem, Asher Bashar, they brought it to David, but David didn't want to drink it because it belonged to somebody else. Vayosech Osam Hashem poured it out, and he said in Yudzayin, Vayomer Chalilali Hashem Asosi, and so on. So I don't want to take it. And he didn't really mean that they should do it. It's a very difficult passage to understand, even in terms of the Pshat, exactly why David didn't want to take it. But Chazal learned completely differently. Radak points out there in 40 on Parakov Gimel Shmuel Beis Pasuk Tezayin. But guess what? And it's based on the Chazal and the Gemara, and Yusham will see part of it in a second. I don't want to spend that much time on the story, but we'll accept what's important to us. David HaMelech, according to the way Chazal understood it, wasn't thirsty. It's not talking about water that he needed to drink. But rather, Ein Mayim Ela Torah. It's only a Torah. He needed a Psak Halach. He had a Halachic Shaila. That's what he wanted. Who was going to find that? He needed to consult the Sanhedrin. David HaMelech, with the soldiers there in the field, were posed. They were in danger in the middle of a battle, and a halachic, important halachic question came up. And David HaMelech wanted someone to get the answer to the shaila. That's what he means. Go get me water. Get me Torah. Get me the solution. And so, as the Radak says, and really to Gemara. Right? The Gemara is in Baba Kama Daf Samach Amud Beis, 41. By his Abed, David, and so on. So he had a shaila. The words, what exactly was the shaila? Mike, what was the big shaila? Mike come by the way. So I'm a rabbi, I'm not one. Tomin be'esh come by the way. So the detail, what happened was, as again, the Radak says, the psukim there in Shmuel Beis, and it's also Divrei Yavam, it's repeated, there was a field. And the field either had barley or lentils or both, okay? And David HaMelech wanted to burn the field because the Plishtim were hiding there. Right? To burn out their hiding place. You have a great place, you hide among the foliage, it's, you can launch all kinds of surprise attacks. You've seen, news stories, representations of the Vietnam War. At the Vietnam War, we were hiding in the jungle. We had to find people with all that foliage. So the Plishtim were doing the same trick. The Plishtim were hiding in the fields. I remember something there. Remember, I think it was last year, 2 years ago, when the Arabs were digging tunnels in Eretz Yisrael. And they were digging on there, so they were coming out. They dug tunnels in Eretz Yisrael, and their plan was to come out in a field that was had high stalks of whatever. And they'd be undetected and they get out because they hide in the foliage. So they came out of the tunnel, they were instantly detected. Why? What happened? Because when they scouted out the area, it was a big wheat field. Out of the wheat field, so they're going to come out among the huge stalks of wheat. But, that's a problem. But it happened to be that, meanwhile, they cut the wheat because it was before Pesach. They're making matzahs. These Arab terrorists came out of the tunnel and they were instantly detected. There's no more wheat, the whole field was clear. Anyway, that's what David HaMelech wanted to do also. Okay, to burn out the plush of things. The fields belong to other people. The fields belong to other people. So the question is he going to be chayav on what's called tomon? Tomon means stuff that's hidden. If I burn your field, let's say I set fire to your field, or I have a barbecue in my yard, but then I didn't take care to, you know, to prevent the fire from spreading. So it spread to your yard, and it burnt this stuff in your yard. So I'm chayav for the damage that I caused. What about stuff that was tumen that hidden? So that was a shaliyah, yeah, but we'll learn the other way. The Gemara has a different, it was a different shura huna. Huna amar gedishim disarm yisrael havu, the havu mitmer pishimu. It was barley fields that belonged to Jews, and that's where the pishim were hiding. And the question was, the kamabayla, our question, mahu lahatzil atzmo b'momon chaveiro. Can David HaMelech save himself and his men from the Plishim who are trying to attack from his covered position? Can they save themselves? David HaMelech is going to burn the field, but the fields belong to somebody. Okay, the fields belong to Jews. He's going to burn these fields down. He's going to ruin all the barley crop for the people that year. Is he allowed to do that, even though it's saving his life? So that's the question. And what was the answer? There it is. That's the Gemara. Samach on Beis Bavakam. The Gemara says openly, there it is. You're not allowed to save yourself. That's what the Maharaj Chai from Sam Sofer referring to, okay, or the other source that we saw. So that's a Gemara. Baba Kama, Samach and Beis, that's also to save yourself with somebody else's property. However, it just so happened, the Gemara concludes, the king, the rules are different. The king has the right, to suspend certain laws for certain reasons and so on. It's a detail. But other than given is an asur lahatzil atzmo b'momon chaveiro, and that's what emerges in that Gemara. We have to see why. Why should that be? Why should not one of the three? It doesn't seem to be one of the three averes hachamuras. But here you see a Gemara that says it was also lemaisa was mutter for double that because it was a melech, right? So there's different rules. Okay, look in Rashi. Again, it spells out some of the details of the story. You look at the last Rashi, it's printed in 42, Vayat Silo, Barakama Sangbe, Shalo Yisrafuha, don't burn the field. Hol the Usr Lahatsilas Atzmo Mochaber. So Rashi seems to learn the Gemara in its simplest way. That's Usr and Yisr. You're not allowed to save your life by ruining or damaging or stealing property that belongs to somebody else. Now, Tosus, the Rashi also right away avoid the whole problem. Tosus, then, Barakama Sangbe, cannot fathom. What do you mean? Why can't you save your life? It's not one of the three other things. Of course you can. The Tosus learns, the question is, that wasn't the shaila. Of course, he's allowed to burn the field. Life and death, can burn the field, save the lives, and so on. That wasn't the shaila. The shaila was, would he have to pay? Or do we say, look, it's mutter, and that's it. We feel basically tough luck on the victim, but there's an extenuating circumstance here. Okay, it was a life and death situation. So now the question, David HaMelech was never asking, according to Tosus, is he allowed to burn the field? That's first state stuff, even without being king. First state stuff, life and death. Just, of course he's allowed to burn the field. But, the shaila was, wait a second, the shaila was, do I have to pay? You could argue, well, of course you have to pay. You can do whatever you want to save your life. You have to pay. I mean, anything. You might say, no, it was mutter. This is not called stealing. This is, the law is completely suspended. And although somebody else got hurt in the process, okay, I don't feel bad about it, but the one that we're not required to pay back. That was the question. That was the question. That's how the Rosh also learned. But the common paragraph is in your base, 44. Gedish in the Yisrael have a plishtim tunimu, right? It was a field that belonged to Jews and the plishtim were hiding there. And a violet, and the question was, is he allowed to burn it? He wasn't asking, can he burn the field to save other Jews' lives? The mils of the pshita he. That's not a shiloh they had to send to the Sanhedrin. Of course you'll have to do what you have to do to save lives. Can I burn the field on the assumption I'm going to be potter after payment? That was the question. And for that, the answer was, Amulei, Osir, Lahatzil Atzmo, Vachavera, Adaita, Delifte, Eliyatzil Atzmo, V'yishalim. You can save yourself, yes, you got to pay back. That was the issue. Now, again, it's not the simple reading of the Gemara, but that's certainly how it's in the Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't seem like Rashi holds that way. Rashi said, if you look at the back of 42, the last line, Rashi is Osir, Lahatzil Atzmo, V'yishalim. He takes the language of the Gemara literally. It doesn't say pay. The issue is not about paying. It's nice that Tosin and Rosh read that in, but that's not the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara. Gemara's Lashon is Usr Lahatzil Atzmo. They say it means Lahatzil Atzmo. What do they mean? They mean, you know, it's Usr, but you have to, you know, it's most of it's Usr to do without paying, without planning to pay. Okay, again, that requires reading a little bit to the Gemara. Rashi doesn't seem to learn that way. There is Yerushalmi in Sanhedrin with Yerushalmi's parak beis. Halacha hey, the Yerushalmi discusses the same story and so on, and the same story with David HaMelech. And it's a pshita leila abe v'litain donen. The Yerushalmi seems to confirm the way Tosfos in the Rosh Hashanah, right? Says pshat that they can destroy the field and pay afterwards. Dilma pshita leila abe shaloitain donen. The question was, can you, you know, can you destroy the field and not, you know, and not pay for it? That was the question, right? The korban ha'eda there. In source 46, Parag Beis, in Masechet Sanhedrin, Shalmi Halacha, hey, I don't get him. She can love a little bit of money. Do you want to have a shalit in Domin? Hey, Zimani Abed, and the question is, should they destroy the lentils of the Goyim, or the barley of the Jews, or whatever, again, which of the crops should destroy? It was also part of the discussion. But in any event, he says, the question was, in the third line, that's for sure, it's Pashat, that you can destroy it and pay back. Okay, that's not a pikuach nefesh, not to pay. Is that included in the pikuach nefesh? The whole thing becomes mutter. Right? That's how they learn the sugya. Okay. Anyway, all right. So we'll move on. But in any event, you have the assumption certainly of Tosfos and the Rosh. Rosh says explicitly, it's poshut that you're allowed to steal to save your life. No, of course, you have to pay the guy back afterwards. The Yad Ramah, that's not the Ramah from the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, Moshe, so let's put Ramah, Reish Mem Hei, Ramah HaLevi, one of the Rishonim, in his commentary on that Sugim Sanhedrin, Ayin Gimel Beizim, Wasa Abaye Omar, he says, Hod Amrina, the Gemara also has the expression there, Osu La'odim Lahat La'asim Omachaver, which again, the Poshup shot is not allowed to do it at all. Again, you read in, well, you're not allowed to do it without paying, but it doesn't say that, and Rashi seems to learn. So the Yad Ramah solved the problem by saying, Hod Amrina Hacha, the Osu La'odim Lahat La'asim Omachaver, but the efshole itzule ba'anpachlina, meaning it's you have the opportunity. When is it also when you can get out of the problem a different way? In other words, can you solve your pikuach nefesh situation without stealing? Meaning, what the Yad Ramah I think is saying is that really it is also, unless it's mamish a last resort. Yeah, there's another way out. But the reason why the Gemara used the expression "osur lahatzal asma mechaver," it is osur, unless it's mamish alas resort. That's what he learns, right? He says, but the efshel itzule ban pachina. I can get out of this problem some other way. I can bribe my way. I can do this. Whatever. I can get the medicine a different way if I can do it without loss of time and further danger some other way. Then taki, it's osur. Right? The Gemara uses the language osur because it is osur. You're not allowed to take money that belongs to someone else just to save your life. But if there's no other choice, you have other ways out, then do the other ways out. But there's no other choice. That's what he says. Elo, Abel Elo, Sagi, Belav, Haki, Mutter, Dein Chadover, Shom, Bifei, Pikoch, Nefesh, Ella, the three Averis. It's L'chatchila, right? It's L'chatchila. L'chatchila, you're not allowed to do it. Okay, L'chatchila, you're not allowed to do it. But if you have no choice, it's the last resort, then it's Mutter. So that's how the Yad Ramah learns. Okay, so maybe maybe that's Rashi, and the Gemara says, Osir, L'chatz, 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 it means, in general, attack is usher. If you can find, and you're supposed to look, you have to try and do everything possible. Yes, sir. You have to try and do everything to avoid it. But if it's mamish, unavoidable, so then you can. That's how he learns. And I mentioned again, but again, it's counterintuitive, certainly to say pasha that's also the way Rashi said it. So we can learn like the Yad Ramah says. The Bingen Siyam, that's the Ettlinger, Yaakov Ettlinger, his great German Rav. The Rebbe you've mentioned many times, the Rebbe of Shashua Paul Hirsch. So he wrote the Aruch Laner, and he wrote Tshuva called Binyan Sion. So he has several Tshuvas towards the end of the first part of Binyan Sion on this topic, and then Simon Kup Samach Zion, 49, he discusses this issue. He discusses the Sheet of Rashi, written in the city of Altan, as it says, Klal Gadol B'Torah, he says, he begins in 49, Klal Gadol B'Torah, She'ein Mitzvah Omer Rifniku, Bikuch Nefesh, Chutz Megimel Averit, Avarazar Gilar, V'Shukazamim, okay? That's nothing stands in the way of pikuach nefesh except for those three. But achein, nonetheless, imutu lahatzil atzma pikuach nefesh mo chaveru, dahinu imutu ligzo mo chaveru kedei lahatzil atzma sakonis nefesh nefashos sakonis nefesh zel lo reason word poskim motzano b'zeh plug to ben gedol harishon. He says, guess what? Even though our general rule that we've always assumed all our lives before tonight, nothing you can violate any aver in the world except for those three. In order to save your life, but says the Binyan Siyam, guess what? About stealing, it's not so posh. not so pashut that you're not allowed, that you're allowed to steal to save your life. And he says, "Seems to be machlokes rishonim." And he says, "Who ashela shashal kar David is what David was looking into." Never mind, he's talking about paying the way others learn it. Okay, that's not the way the being seems. That's not the pashut pshat what was going on there. Okay, and he says that the Tosfos and the Rosh say it's about paying, but the Rosh says outside, saves some time. But the Binyan Tzion says that's not the simple meaning of the Gemara. I mean, it's a dochuk. Okay, and the way Rashi learned is more than Pashup Shot. Right, and look maybe seven lines down. Hari the Pshitale, the Osalat, that's Rashi, Pshitale, the Osalat, Matul Chatkila, the Hor Shalay Shafu, the Man Hatzul Fosh. They told, don't burn the field. They didn't say, don't, well, you go ahead and burn it, but you have to pay. It's not what it says. It says you're not allowed to do it all together. Said Rashi is a simple pshat in the Gemara. Other people, he said, find Rashi difficult to believe, but he thinks that's a Rashi hold. And he says, other Rabbi, the pshat and the Tosfos and the Rosh, they're more dochuk, right? They have to kind of read it into, they have to force it into the Gemara. And as far as the logic behind it, well, there's an interesting svar at the end, last few lines, he says, you know, to defend Rashi Shita, aside from the fact that he said, Masha dochuk ma'odul via Tosfos and Rosh, kosher esati, but he says, svar, you know, because one of the what, we have a rule that, you know, on Shabbos, you're allowed to do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, even though it involves what would otherwise be Chilul Shabbos. The avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, slaughter an animal and do different things for Karbanos. So the avodah is Docha Shabbos. My avodah is Docha Shabbos. Now, Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Avodah, meaning you can't kill somebody, in order to do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, and certainly they have one Docha Shabbos. Right? That's what that's called. If A is greater than B, B is greater than C, right? Community property. Anyway, the point is that if the avodas override Shabbos, if the nefesh overrides avodas, certainly avodas are override Shabbos. Hari is a pshita avshat tira torah chal Shabbos. If it is chok, if the avodas minu mizokin, the komokim lo tira lizol. Now, where does stealing fit in? Well, you're allowed to violate Shabbos because the avoda of the tmidim and the mizokin of the Beis HaMikdash. But you can't steal. You can't steal. You can't go steal a carbon, right? You're not allowed to steal if you don't have an animal. Imomotz atomid. Element of Gezer, you're not allowed to steal. Therefore, you see in a certain sense that stealing is higher up there. Okay? And so therefore, Mamon Shalachirim is not Mukma, even Pikuach Nefesh, because that's how they learned. That was one of the other rabbis who learned that Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos, because if Avoda, if the Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Avoda, and Avoda is Docha Shabbos, the Pikuach Nefesh is Docha, Docha Shabbos. That's how some want to learn. Yeah, but Gezel isn't. You see, in a certain sense, Gezel is out of that category. It's beyond that pale. It's not subsumed in the same level. You won't be, because you can't steal for Avoda either. So therefore, the Kavachom won't work for Gezel. It'll work for Shabbos, but it won't work for Gezel. Okay, Avoda is greater than Avoda is Pichuach Nefesh is higher than Avoda. Avoda is higher than Shabbos. Pichuach Nefesh is higher than Shabbos. Yeah, but Avoda is not higher than Gezel. Therefore, maybe Pikuach Nefesh is also not higher than Gezel. That's what he thinks. Perhaps is how Rashi can be justified. Although, again, remains counterintuitive. The Maram Shik in 50, the Talmud comes over, and his Chuvas Chelek Erdeis in Shin Mem Zayin has a discussion about the Etlinger. He refers to mostly glowing terms. Kozek Hasavti, Aphilas Vidas Harab, Mar Yaakov Etlinger, a Gaon, your person is a great Gaon. But he said, I disagree with him in this case. He speaks of him because they speak of him. The Maram Shik, the great Gaon, which he was, but so I think he's not right in this situation. And he says that can't be, and he refers to the Warak Subas, you know, and something else he said we'll see in a second from the Ramban. And he thinks that's not what Rashi means. And Rashi can't possibly be saying that it's mut, that it's also the steel to save your life. This can't be, it's counterintuitive. But Moshe Feinstein also assumes like that. He goes, Moshe Yaradeh Sum Resh Yud Dalit. Okay, and he says that which he says it openly. 51. Masha Sover, you know that Rashi holds to Osur LaHatzel Asun Chameru, okay, Afilu Pikuach Nefesh, who Dover Shei Efsher Lomer Chal. And he says it cannot be. It just can't be. Okay, because the Chol Averus Yavar Ayarik Chutz Me Averus Arvigel Ayes Shichuzam Vaf Gezel B'Chal. It's not one of the three. Gezel is included with the rest of the mitzvahs. All right, not with those three. So it's impossible for the Moshe to assume that Rashi or anybody else believes you're not allowed to steal in order to save your life. And he said, refers to the Gemara and Subas about it, the second and everything else we mentioned before. So therefore, he says, even though you know there are some places in Gemara saying, why otherwise, he said, it cannot be that's the way it is. And maybe what he means is, the story of David HaMelech, where the Gemara said, he says, the Tzar Chom with the David, Hechmel Atzmo, maybe David was being more machmir, and it wasn't really required, okay? Or maybe it wasn't quite a life and death situation. It was just a holy situation. So anyway, he has other terutim But not to say that you're not allowed to steal, it's mamish a pikuach nefesh situation. Okay? But again, all these, or Bin Tzion insists that Rashi did hold that way, and the simple reason the Gemara is, so now our question is, if according to those who hold that this Takin Isser, Lahatzah's Mamma Chavero, how come there aren't four things? Should be you're allowed to say, you have to violate every Avera of Torah, not except for three, except for four. Right? Gilarai, Shikhutama, Vodazara, and Gezel. So guess what? You look in Yerushalmi, Yerushalmi's in Shabbos, Parag Yud Dalad, Halacha Dalad, Omar Chanina, Masnisan Omar Kain, Shain Misrapan, Shikhutama, Tzinin, Taman, Yotaru, Ain Nogibo. Right? When it comes to saving a life, you can't push aside one life for another. Right? The case there is when a mother's giving birth to a baby. And so when the baby's inside the mother and there's not a full life yet, so then and the mother's life's in danger, mamish. So then you're allowed to abort the fetus to save the life of the mother. Once the baby starts to come out, so now ein doch nefesh in nefesh. And then the Yerushalmi says, what's important for us now, is lo sov dober b'shomalo harogis ploni, el afilu chamosis ploni. The guy forcing you didn't say kill so-and-so. The guy said, when someone comes up to me, hold the gun, you shoot him, I'm going to kill you. You're not allowed to, right? That's the thing. Gemara says, who says my blood is better, right? My chazi, who says I'm any more of a life, or my life's worth more than his? I'm not allowed to kill him to save my own life. But now the Yerushalmi has an opinion. Even if they tell me, go steal from someone else, I'm not allowed to do that either. So according to this Yerushalmi, that's what Carbonatus says in 53, lo sov dover lav dafka rishon laharo ploni, vimlav ar hergecha. Now he says that's because many people will end up being a murder sick. Many people will defend themselves to the hilt to say, I won't give them a dollar, right? They'll fight back. People will, not a lot of money. People will fight back and they'll try and defend themselves. People don't want to give up their property, understandably so. So they'll fight, even if it means they'll die. Sometimes people. So that's what a carbonator says, in which case, not really a riot because it is under Shrikhus Dhamma. But that's not what Pei Moshe learns. Pei Moshe learns simply that even if the guy says, steal from him or I'll kill you, you have to let yourself be killed. So maybe there is a mocker in Yerushalmi, or it's a machloket, or one sheet in Yerushalmi that says that Gezel is in fact a fourth Isser, which you're not allowed to violate to save your life. The sheet in the Betis, in Anatsugim Ksubus, you test them out, quotes the Ramban. Okay, and then the Chidush HaRa'ah says it openly. Ksubus, you test them out, let's head outside. Ramban found what he calls a Brisa Chitzonis. Look at this. We'll read the Ramban inside. We'll leave it out. But he says the same thing. Shlosha dvarim ein om nivnei pikuach nevesh ve'elu hein avodos gilulim v'gilai rayashim v'damim Rameir omer af ha-gezel. Guess what? There's one sheet that's Rameir. So no gezel included. We always thought there were three. There's four. At least according to Rameir. So now you have a Tana who says like that. Okay, in fact, that's the sugya because that's what she went to. Ksubis. That's why Rameir said does Aiden should sign the document. Should Rameir said the Aiden should not sign that document because that's going to be Gezel. Because what are they going to do with that document? Now, that's a document saying that A owes B $1 million. She'll get the two guys to sign it. So now they'll come to court and produce the document. The B will have to produce $1 million. So in order to, I signed it, right? I was forced to sign it. I have to save my life. So I'm signing. I'm costing him $1 million because he doesn't owe $1 million, but they're going to produce this document in court that he owes him that money. So that's the case, right? So Rubber says this. Rubber disagrees. Right, we paskin ain't lechadorish for this omer of this never except for those three. But there's a sheet in the Tanoim that the sheet in Beth is close to the name of Ramban from a price of Yitonis. The Chiddush HaRa'ah quotes it. Back in 57, the Gilead Maharsha, that Gilead Maharsha and the Shulchan Aruch is not the same Maharsha we have in the back of the Gemara. They're small idols, okay, with the on the Rashi and the Tosis and on Agadat and some. But this is the Marshoma Eger, son of Akiva Eger. He quotes this to Ra'ah also. He quotes it to Tosefta. Rameir Omer Afagezel said it is such a sheet. There is such a shita that there are four things, in fact. Interestingly, there's another Gemara, one or two other relevant Gemaras. We'll wrap up. Gemara says in the beginning of the Kama, Peyam and Aleph, 58. Tanar Bana, Maisa Bechusen Echad, Shagonech Belibo. He has, again, some kind of a groaning from his stomach. He has some kind of a terrible stomach disorder also. Maybe it also, we'll see in a second. Because the Shalal Rofim, Ramo Eno Takana, Shionek Cholav Roseach, Mishachas, and Sach, they have to drink milk. Okay, so drink hot milk. Okay, so what they did was they brought him a goat, a kashlo bekaramita, they tied it up, and he drank milk from this goat every day. And then liyomim nichnasu chaver levakos. So his friends, his colleagues, the other talmid chacham came to visit his levakos cholet, and when they saw this goat in the house, they backed up and they chazal achrayim. Amu list in the zirnu beisosol there. there is a robber in this house. Who? Rashi explains, the goat. Why is the goat a robber? Rashi explains, because Roa b'sodos achirim, it goes with the robber. This goat goes and grazes, these types of animals go and graze in other people's fields, and they steal from other people, so they didn't want to come in. And later on, the Gemara says, Yashu batku v'lo batzu ela osa avon sh'osa eiz. This guy was such a chassid. The only Averi ever did was he went against the chacham. The sugi there, the chacham said, you're not allowed to keep certain animals because, and this type of animal was among them, because of grazing other people's fields and stealing. So he didn't want to, so therefore the chacham didn't want to come in. In any event, and he himself admitted it yet, Rafu b'shas misoso, this man died. He said, Yodei ani she'im, this is all Baba Kama Pam and Allah. Yodei ani she'im avon elavon osa'i shabak adir chaleha. He went against what the chacham said. So that also seems, what do you mean? He was trying to save his life. Why could, good is go to graze in other people's fields, so he'll steal. But I needed to save my life. That's what the doctor said. He had to have this milk on a ready for him on a daily basis. It was, his life was in danger. Right? So what? Therefore, also, so you see, you shouldn't. Now, it could be that's an Me'iri there, Baba Kama Pam and Allah, learned 60. That's a little different because we're stricter sometimes in rabbinic rules, right? He says, "Afal pish v'akum pikuch nefesh huchu isur l'shvachet b'hem." Right? Mirius, what do you mean? What's the problem this guy did? To save his life? Say no, because dovar shenesam mikoch takana mukshas chedes achem roy lahachmer b'biyoser. He tells his ma'aser. So maybe that was also a little bit different thing. Okay, the Marsha, our regular Marsha, the Chiddush Hagadol is there, but Kama Tzama Chol Alav also says maybe it wasn't such a life and death, it was Chol Hashem Basakana. Okay, one other sugya, and that is Baba Kama Kufya Diamond Base. The Gemara talks about a road there, someone chasing after me. So chases after me, Reuben chases after Shimon to kill him. So Shimon's running away, Reuben's running after him, so Reuben on his way, pursuing Shimon, steps and breaks somebody else's stuff. Okay? And so he's punished the man to pay for it because he's going to get a more severe punishment. Not our topic now. But what about the nirdam? The guy who's running. He's running away. So if I run through the yard of the guy attacking my break, he's still good. I'm punished. But I will show call Adam Chayav. Why? Look at the Gemara. The also lahatzlas on chaveru. I'm a kama kuvizan bay. Same expression. If I run, well, I'm running away. The guy's coming after me with a knife or a gun. And I run through your backyard. I step on your flowers. And I knock down your swing set, the break of your lawn furniture, and so on and so forth. So it says that I'm hired to pay afterwards. Because also lahatzlas on chaveru. I wasn't allowed to do that. Okay, I'm not allowed to do that. But again, there clearly the issue is paying. And even though the Gemara used the expression, this would be a raya, the Tosfos in the Rosh, and when it says, also lahatzo atzmo lo chaveru, it means that you have to pay. Not also me to do it, but I have to pay it back afterwards. That's the issue over there. That's how the Rosh learns. Sanhedrin, Karkas, and Beit, he says, it's a parallel sugi with the road. The same thing appears in Sanhedrin. That's where the Rosh comment. He says on the second line of 64, Shall call Adam Chayav the Osu lo Adam Lahatlas Mon Chavero im lo Shifra en lo. He's not going to pay it back. So that's perhaps a raya on that side. Okay? And Shitin Obetz is there, Baba Kama Kuvizan Beis throws one other interesting thing into the mix. Why you're allowed to do it, maybe not even have to pay back. Why there's even a Shaila? He said, because after all, saying outside, but after all, because if I see someone coming after who's in danger, if I see in danger, so I'm a chuyim. That's also in this week's head. And even if it's going to cost me some money, I have to shell out money. It's going to cost me, I'm a rush into the hospital, guy collapses. So I rush, it's going to cost me gas and tolls to get him to the hospital. Okay, but I have to be willing to do that. Later on, we can talk whether you have to pay me back my expenses, but I'm required to give. So therefore, you can argue the person can take. Now we can talk carefully, you have to pay. That's the right of the Mark Kedushin and Avches, when a woman is being chased by a dog, so the person gave the dog a local bread, so leave the woman alone. Anyway, that's the issue over there. I just want to end up, just to finish a second, there's a fascinating comment by Shlomo Kluger, Chuvas Ha'elof HaKon Shlomo Chilek Erdesim Reish, 66. He says, you know something? He says, this whole rule that we always thought that you're allowed to violate anything in order to save your life, he posits, that's, you know what, that's only by mitzvahs ben other makom, mitzvahs between HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, those three are baver shebein olam shamayim. Why should HaKadosh Baruch Hu mocha al kvod v'hitir baver shebein olam makom? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mocha. He said, no, I'd rather you stay alive. Right? V'chai ben roshon shamayim. Avaver shebein olam chaveru lo. Who tov amor pishkul nefesh? Maybe who says I can save my life and harm you? What's it going to, why should you lose? I mean, I'm a nice guy, but it's not to do you. right? So if I go ahead and I violate Shabbos, I violate Yom Kippur, I eat the chametz on Pesach, I eat it, or whatever it is. So that's between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what, to save your life, I'm giving you permission to violate my dinim. But the other person didn't give me permission, right? Unless he paid back. Okay, but that's what Shmuel Kugel was talking about. What if I can't? I don't even know who it was. So then it's not so poshut. Why should somebody else lose? Right? And he goes further. He says, you know, if I violate Shabbos, what's the idea? I'm going to violate this Shabbos. I'll run to the hospital. I'll violate Shabbos. Go now to the doctor's treatment. I'll keep Shabbos the next 25 years. Right? So there's a net gain on the Shabbos scale. Right? So I eat a Mishum Kippur the next 10 years. I'm Kippur. I'll be able to fast. Right? So there's a gain. But that's not true with an Al Chavero. What is he? What's my staying alive? That's with him. Right? Why should he lose? I'm just saying, there's an interesting truth that the whole concept that you're allowed to violate any other in the world, except for those three, to save a life, it's not so posh. Maybe it's only thrown in a category of Allah Muslim as opposed to Allah Khabira. So that's what he says, right? He says, Ain Lachadosh, I'm going to say at the end, Ain Lachadosh, I'm going to say, Nefesh, El Gilm, Gimel, Var, Hainu, Bavar, Shemel, Allah Muslim. Okay, but not necessarily, but by Allah Khabira, it's mutter only if what? You're going to pay it back. Then it's mutter, you're going to pay it back. The implication is you can't pay it back, okay? Or you don't know who it is, then maybe it's not so partial. And I'll explain those sheets. I just want to end up, the Masechta Smach is one of the Masechta Tanis Perek Beis, I'll look at 67. Shekala Gonev Harizah Shofech Domen. That goes back full circle, we said before. Remember that was that statement to the in the Shohar. Okay, the Shohar says you steal from someone, it's like you stole his life. And we had to remember that back in, I don't know what time now, but there it is, 21. The Meseches Tanis, the Meseches Smachos makes that the comparison. Now okay. So the Rambam in Parakas talks about the Rodev case and so on as in Shulchan Aruch. But look what Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Nun Tes Dalet, next halacha 69. Afilu b'sakonas moves. Okay, if you're in a case of sakonas moves, but tzarich and you have to steal in order to save your life, you're allowed to. That's what we assume. But tzarich lekechemet al das l'shalim, you have to have in mind to pay back. That's the issue. You have to have in mind you're going to pay back. So it's not so poshut like we said before. It's an answer. You're not allowed to take to save your life, steal from somebody else. So maybe like Shmuel Kugel says, other than al chaveres, that's the thing I still apply. You're allowed to do it if you're planning to pay him back. Nobody is saying principles in Shin Pei Sin Gimel. This, again, it's also the view of Rodev. But that's the idea. It's not so simple. It can violate somebody else, even to save your life. Then you can, but only if it's a last resort, or if you're planning to pay him back. Okay, we'll stop here.